Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Sheila Beingessner. Sheila, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Rick.
And Sheila, I want to say thank you very much for having the courage to come on today. I know that you last week had been battling some sort of a throat cold type thing going on.
Well, it was at the very beginning, and this is at the very end. I lost my voice.
So if you don't mind, I'm going to pray today. And one of the things I'm going to pray for and ask everyone to pray for is for your throat, and that we can get through this so well. St. Blaise, please pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us together today, and that all across the Southern California region, your name would be praised through this radio and through the people who hear it, through all those who are inspired to embrace you more, a little bit more completely, through who we are and what we do. We ask you especially to bring your blessing upon the men who are your servants in our lives. And as we work today through today's program, we ask you to open our hearts and minds to how we can inspire the men in our lives to be not only have a deeper relationship with you, but those who have deep relationships, how they can be appreciated and how we can shine a light on them. Be with them, Lord, and be with us that today would be a good day in accomplishing your will. And be with Sheila that her voice would do well. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, in that prayer, I kind of also alluded a little bit to where we're going today. We've had you on before, Sheila, and we were talking several weeks ago about St. Joseph Radio. And that particular group of people, of which I've been affiliated with myself, are volunteer lay people who have come together over the last several decades. And their mission has been to provide an outreach through radio and through tapes and through CDs so that the people who are in the pews, the Catholics who are wanting to know more, can not only have more of God, but then can share that with others. It's an evangelization group, essentially. And St. Joseph Radio began here in the Diocese of Orange. Oh, gosh, it's been 20 plus years, almost 30 years ago now. And they had branched out into St. Louis, and now they're actually headquartered in St. Louis, but they still have a presence here in the Diocese of Orange. And the reason I bring that up is because we have coming up quickly here, what's the date in March?
March 18th.
March 18th is the dinner for the Catholic Man of the Year for the Diocese of Orange. We have not only Bishop Timothy Fryer, who's going to be present there, but we also will have a number of men who have been nominated by their parishes or organizations in the Diocese of Orange to recognize them for being faithful men of God. And this is something that just isn't done very often throughout the diocese that I'm aware of. And it's been a wonderful tradition that we have developed here in the Diocese of Orange over the years, and it's coming up. But one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on, Sheila, is because you, having been a part of this, have really developed a theology, an affinity, a spirituality of appreciation for the ministry of lay men. And I wanted to talk with you a little bit about the reasons why. So tell me a little bit, Sheila, what can you tell me why it is that you're involved with this recognition of Catholic lay men?
Well, first of all, I wanted to, I was thinking about this topic, and this morning I read on the website of National Catholic Register a new book that has just come out by Archbishop Chaput.
Archbishop Chaput is the archbishop in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia now, yes.
And he had served for a while in Denver and is one of the more prominent bishops that's out there right now. He's
right.
Not afraid to talk to people on camera.
Yes, and he really tackles the current issues. One of his books, Render Under Caesar, What is Caesar's, was very good about letting us know what our duties are as Christians and Catholics. And this one is, it's not a downer, but there's hope in it, but it's not a very optimistic. And he explains the difference between optimism and hope, which maybe you can go into that a little bit later.
We can go into that a little bit later. I want to make sure they know what we're talking about. This book is titled Strangers in a Strange Land.
Yes.
Living the Catholic Faith in a Post-Christian World. So Strangers in a Strange Land, and that's put out by Ignatius Press, and it's brand new by Charles Chaput.
Yes.
What was the most important thing that you read in that really struck you resonating with a ministry of recognition?
Well, I think what it boils down to towards the end of this review is that we really have an obligation to live, love, know about our faith, and to serve others. So this theme of living, loving, mercy that all of our popes seem to be reiterating over and over, which is very good for evangelization. But the fact is we cannot rely necessarily on the world anymore that's going to be living these values. So we have to now create within the Christian community, and particularly Catholics, we have to hang on to our sacramental history. What a blessing Jesus gave us by giving us those sacraments. I explain sometimes to my confirmation students, a lot of people say the Catholic Church is like a hospital for sinners. It's not a place for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. You become saints by being close to it. But I compare it to a garage that you go to get your Catholicism tuned up from time to time, because it's not going to run forever if you don't keep it well tuned. And in today's society, particularly, it's hard to get it tuned because everybody else's car looks different. It runs differently, but we don't run that way. We run by being fed on the sacraments. That gives us the ability to hold on to our values. The values in today's world are very secular. They're not Christian values any longer.
So what is the ministry objective then for St. Joseph Radio's embrace of men, and specifically in this joint venture? I mean, it's done collaboratively with the Diocese of Orange, the Catholic Man of the Year. How does this tie into that, Sheila?
Well, it's kind of like I told my girls that you really need to marry in the future a strong Christian man. Particularly, I would like it to be a Catholic man, but a strong man of God. And my youngest went around her first grade class asking all of the kids what they were, and they didn't know. She said, go home and ask your mom and dad.
Because she wanted to know who the prospects were.
And she said, and she told the teacher asked her why she's doing this. And she said, well, my mom said I need to marry a Christian, and I got to know who they are. And
she was already shopping. This is first grade?
This is first grade. And so I said to myself, this is sort of what we're trying to say. We want to be strong. We want to raise strong men. We want our men to be strong men of faith. But if they know of others who do this, role models, this is what the Catholic Man of the Year provides, is a room full of 300 men that are great role models. And it's just inspiring, and it's very uplifting to know that it's possible. And we need to get to know these people. They need to be able to be highlighted in their parishes so that their youth in their parish have a sage to go to ask, how did you get through college and with your faith intact? It's really hard for me. A young adult might be asking someone. And it's men that are living right now in the same world that they're living in. It's not one of the saints with a capital S that lived a long time ago, as valuable as they are to us. I think today's youth need everyday men and women today to look to say, how did you get through this? Because our world is changing so darn fast. I would love, 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 extra love our young adults to be more involved, because they have lots of men working for them also that could be highlighted and that could be evangelized, inspired by attending these events to see what a good Catholic man can do. Not only raise a family, have a nice lay vocation, but be able to minister to the community, mercy, God's mercy and love.
So the Catholic Men of the Year is an event, again, March 18th here in the Diocese of Orange in Garden Grove. We'll give out the rest of that information again. But it's designed to showcase then these men. When we come back, Sheila, I'd like to not only talk more about that, I want to talk a little bit about what you saw that really intrigued you as to why this year it seems to be so important, and how Bishop Archbishop Chaput becomes involved with that. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, and we'll be right back.
Need an idea for summer vacation? Why not join Bishop Kevin Vann and Bishop Tim Fryer for a first-of-its-kind Catholic cruise from Long Beach to Ensenada, Mexico? You'll be entertained by acclaimed musician Francis Cabildo, music ministry director at Santa Margarita High School, and director of Christ Cathedral Music Ministries, Dr. John Romeri. You'll also have the blessed opportunity to celebrate Mass at the Cathedral in Ensenada. It's all happening July 21st to the 24th. For info, call Travel of Orange, 877-538-0010. OCCatholic.com/travel.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, on the campus of Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Sheila Bein-Gessner, who is involved with Catholic Man of the Year for St. Joseph Radio. And Catholic Man of the Year is a joint venture that's done every year through the Diocese of Orange and St. Joseph Radio. And the object is not just to identify one Catholic man for the whole diocese, though they do that. It's to recognize in each parish or organization that participates a man that should be recognized this year, draw attention to how he's living out his gospel values, how he's living out his responsibility to be a role model for those around us. Even if that's quietly done, even if that's silent, we have a wonderful role model in St. Joseph. The only problem with St. Joseph for those of us on the radio is he didn't say anything in Scripture. So, but we do have a great model in that he listened to God and he took care of his family. And he did that as a holy man of God. And that's what we're looking at. So some of these men that are take part in this who are recognized, they may be doing nothing more than every week they're part of the crew that makes sure all the church's chairs are put away. Or these are the people that make sure that certain things happen in the maintenance of the church, or are opening up doors or making sure that things happen. They're behind the scenes often. And yet these men are men who are holy men of God that we should be looking up to. And it's something that I think it's a wonderful event. I've been there before. I've felt be part of this. And it is wonderful to watch these men come in. These are men who are very humble. They never asked to be part of this. And yet you could see also there's a certain amount of proper pride involved too, where they realize they may have done something along the way where tonight they're serving as a role model.
Yeah.
In a positive way.
Even if it's just the fact that they realize that by listening and doing what God has told them to do, that it's a confirmation that, yes, that is what God wanted me to do. He didn't expect me to be an orator or to be a philanthropist, maybe, but just live what I gave you. Live in the family I gave you. Live in the community and church that I gave you. But do it my way. Like the song says, don't do it your way. Do it my way, God's way. Because there is a lot of advantage to that. And we don't even realize sometimes some of the men don't realize until that evening how impressed everybody is by seeing them all together.
Well, one of the things about the humility that is palpable is that these men put God first.
Yes.
And that's something that in our society, as it's been changing, we've, as a society, have not done so well in doing. We've not been putting God first. We, in fact, have gotten into the habit of one-upsmanship on who can put themselves more first than the other person, so that our way is a way of self-pleasing instead of how are we pleasing God. And it's not just about living by rule books. God gives us guidelines in order to have basically an owner's manual. This is how things work best. This is, if you want to live a holy, happy life, then do it this way. I've said it before. If you are driving a Maserati, you have a wonderful car as long as you A, know how to drive it well, and B, know how to maintain it. If you come up to the gas station and try to put regular gas in that car to save a few dollars, you might be able to get away with that for a few miles, but eventually it's going to, the engine's not going to run right. You're going to start hearing knocking noises going on, and it will not be able to give you the performance it needs because you didn't do what you were told to do. And it's, you can want to put that regular gas in. You can accomplish putting that regular gas in. That still doesn't make it the best thing to do.
Exactly. That's similar to the talk I give about your faith being like going to a garage and getting it fine-tuned with the sacraments.
Yes.
Because I say, in the end, you'll have not just an old faith, you'll have an antique that is so valuable, others will really want it. Look at the model, the antique cars now. Well, they're worth a pretty penny, but they were taken care of.
Anybody have a 1960s Thunderbird? Oh my gosh, what a fun thing to drive, or a 1968 Mustang. Oh,
yes.
Man.
Yeah. So it's not just the fact that these men want to drive the best car. They have a good car. They've got a Catholic car. Take care of it so that it will last you all the way through your life, and your kids will be fighting over who gets it. You know, you're handing down something more precious than a car. You're handing your faith down. If you're, at least minimally, if your kids don't think it's a great thing, you know, it's not going to be handed down. So these men are proud of what they do, why they do it. They're doing it for God's glory, not theirs. But they're doing it for God's glory. And look, I listened to God. He used me. He made me a good thing. But I don't feel that special. I just feel like I listen to God.
There's a Chinese proverb that's basically a Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. And I think we genuinely live in interesting times. When we look at what's gone on in our world, you know, on the one hand, depending upon how you're looking at it, if you don't believe that there is a God, if you don't believe there's a God, there's only human beings, then some of what's happened makes a little sense, where people want to have their own freedoms and not be told what to do. And after all, if there is no God, then all these other rules need to be challenged. But the problem with that comes down to the reality that there is a God, that God created us in a certain way. And as we were talking about the car, whether it's in the garage or running around the highway, it only runs best when it's treated right, when it's maintained properly, and when it's doing what it's supposed to do. If you take a regular car, like let's just say a Cadillac, and you take the Cadillac out over a dirty, bumpy road in the middle of nowhere, kind of like where I live out in the Riverside County area, and you go over potholes and all sorts of things, you're going to hurt the suspension. You're going to do damage to that vehicle. Can it go through it? Probably. But will it come out looking right and acting right afterwards? Probably not. At least your alignment's going to be out. But if you have a four-wheel drive truck that's doing what it's supposed to do, it can take that. Things were made to do certain things certain ways, whereas that Cadillac is going to handle curves around a freeway just fine. We human beings were made to act a certain way, and we were created by God in the image and likeness of God. We're told in Genesis, in that very first image of God that's conveyed, is that the image of God was first conveyed by creating human beings in that image and likeness of God. And then it continues and says, male and female, he created them. Be fruitful and multiply, so open to life, and then subdue the world. So let's see, male and female, open to life, subduing their world. That we call a family, a nuclear family. a man and a woman who are building a life of new generation, collaborating and cooperating with creation, with God, in subduing the world like we are in the image of God. Not that we're a parasite on the earth, not that we're trying to do anything bad to the earth. On the contrary, we're building something good for human beings with a small footprint on the earth. We are in the image and likeness of God. And the closer we stay to that image, the better we're going to be. I used to teach high school morality, and when I would talk about how human sexuality, for example, is created by God to be very good under certain circumstances. For example, Pam Stensel used to give the analogy that a fire, it can be a beautiful thing. If I have a fire in my fireplace, it warms my house. It's beautiful to look at. It can be very romantic unto itself, but it's also in its confined place, designed for it. It's permanently there for me to have access to if I want to generate it. That's where it's supposed to be. Fire my fireplace is a very good thing. Fire my living room rug, not such a good thing. It's the same fire, but it's out of its proper confines. And instead of it being beautiful, it's destructive, both to my rug and the smoke to the rest of my house.
And it can easily get out of control.
It can get out of control. So when we're talking about how God created us, he created us to be happy. And the closer we are to that first image, male, female, open to life and subduing the world, the happier we're going to be. For example, if we have a widow who's got children, may not be her fault that she's a widow, but is she going to be handicapped in some ways by being a widow, by not having her husband in order to help raise her children with a masculine voice and a masculine image around for her children? Most studies would say, yes, she and her children will be handicapped, which is why most psychologists will counsel the widow that if you're not going to be dating soon, to have a male figure in your children's life, to make sure that grandpa is around or Uncle Jack is around or someone who's a male figure can be around to help compensate because there's something that is not the way it ought to be. That doesn't mean it's the way it ought to be because it was bad and evil. It just God created us to function a certain way. And that's hard enough. For those of us who are married, I have three teenage daughters right now still in the house. And I can tell you that there are days where that's not an easy situation to be in, but it's still good, but it's hard enough. Why would you want to muck it up by doing things on purpose that get you further away? And for us, I think that's one of the things that Catholic Man of the Year reminds us of, that you can be holy. You can be an image of God. You can do what's right. And it's still in fashion, it's still in style, it's still the right thing to do. Sheila, when we come back, I'm going to continue this, but I want to take one more step in a slightly different direction. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
occatholicman.org. That's occatholicman.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio, here in the heart of Orange County on the beautiful campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. With me today is Sheila Beingessner, and Sheila has been a longtime supporter of men, and her husband's quite happy about that.
That sounded a little funny, Rick.
On purpose, because you have been involved with Catholic Man of the Year for quite some time. And I know that over the years, you have been in the business, so to speak, of making sure that men who are trying to help facilitate their families' lives to be holy ones of God, that they're recognized.
Yes, but recognized for a lot of different reasons. One of the main ones, I think, Rick, is to inspire our youth, for one thing, because they certainly have a lot of role models from the that the world is offering them that I don't want them to follow. If I had a lot of boys in my family, I would rather give them strong Catholic role models to follow, to say, hey, this is where it's at. This is pleasing to God, and it's going to make you happiest in the end.
St. Joseph is, of course, the patron of St. Joseph Catholic Radio. And St. Joseph, when he was confronted with a fiance who was pregnant and he knows it wasn't his, listened to God and was willing to step up to be what he needed to be in this very difficult situation. Sometimes we look at the Christmas story and we don't always appreciate how difficult that must have been for everyone that was involved. If we take our faith seriously, we believe that God was involved in the pregnancy of Mary, which means no one else is going to believe this to be true. Everyone around her must have believed that she had had sex outside of marriage. The rumors were going around about the Roman soldiers that were around town. Did she hang around with them? And now you've got Joseph involved. And if Joseph doesn't rebuke her, Joseph, did you get her pregnant? Why weren't you a better man to not touch your wife or your fiancé-to-be? It had to be very difficult. And then not only did Joseph stand up and take her, I mean, he had the right to denounce her. And in fact, before he even heard from God, this holy man of God didn't want to be a part of the problem, but he didn't want to hurt her either.
Yes.
He was going to just simply divorce her quietly and move on with his life. But instead, God said, no, the right thing to do here, Joseph, what I need you to do, Joseph, is to help provide a family for this child, because this child is someone special. This child is my son.
Yeah, Joseph had a soft heart. He had a loving heart anyways. But I think when God spoke to him, God said, no, this is what I want you to do, like you said. And there's nothing like words coming straight from God to convince you that this is what you need to do.
And this is one of the reasons why I think Catholic Man of the Year is so important, because it gives us a chance to recognize, whether they're young men in our community or older men in our community, men who are striving to live a life that leads, that are trying to live a life that leads in sometimes very small ways, but important ways. So these are not always men that are the CEO of a major corporation that donated millions of dollars to the poor. Though, thank you very much, and please continue doing that. Sometimes it's someone who's done some very heroic things. Last year's recipient for the big award for being the diocesan Catholic Man of the Year, and not just his parish, was Dr. Bill Sayers. And Dr. Bill, as we sometimes like to call him, has been all over the world volunteering his services to children. He's a pediatric doctor, and he's done this for free. He's been involved in areas of poverty. He's been involved with people in countries where war has been going on. And he has been a leader in both child psychology and child psychiatry and in pediatrics. So he's one of these people who very quietly, and if you know Dr. Bill, he'll talk to you all day long about children, but he doesn't talk about himself and what he's done. These are men that sometimes are doing some very wonderful things, but behind the scenes.
Yes, and the thing that impressed me also about Dr. Bill was that he gives credit in his acceptance speech. He gave credit for all of the Catholic men in his life that inspired him and encouraged him. Even though he had a long life of ups and downs, those were the things that inspired him to keep going and to love his faith. And I love how he takes his morning or evening walk, saying the rosary and just quietly praying, thanking God for the blessings. And he has a blessed life, I think, because he really has always listened to God.
I had Dr. Bill on here not that long after he received the award, so a few months ago. And what struck me was the humility he has about his wife, that he loves this woman very much, but he's very appreciative that she said yes all these years later. I mean, he's a very humble man and a very good man.
the people who've been involved with this, now it's too late this year to nominate anybody for their parish for Catholic Man of the Year. But if they're looking at what we're doing and want to see their parish nominated, if they didn't this year, let's assume for a moment we're talking to people who are listening on the radio who are thinking, wow, I would like to both go to this dinner and support the men that are there. So y'all come. That's March 18th. The hotel is
the Wyndham Hotel.
The Wyndham Hotel in Garden Grove. And that's the evening of the 18th. And
yes,
it is RSVP, but everyone's invited to go. There is a dinner. So it is something too that you're going to be buying into to go to the dinner, just like you would for any other dinner you'd go out for. So you do have to call ahead and reserve your spot, but everyone is invited to go. They can find out more information on it, and I want to give this information again, but they can find out more information either at the St. Joseph Radio website or Orange County Catholic Radio website, because it's a joint venture between the Diocese of Orange and St. Joseph Radio. So they can go to www.occatholicman.org. That's www.occatholicman, all one word, occatholicman.org. Or www.stjosephradio.net, and that's Saint spelled out, S-A-I-N-T, josephradio.net. And you're going to be looking for a little tab that says reservations. It's $100 for the dinner itself. But if you're familiar with dinner prices these days for what you're going to get at a beautiful hotel, that is beautiful. But you're going to also be able to support the men who in the Diocese of Orange are being nominated by their parishes, by their organizations, to honor them. And we would love to have a sellout crowd, to have as many people there as possible, whether it's from your parish or not. If you have not participated as a parish in this, but would like to see this, this would be a perfect opportunity to come see what we're doing and why this is such a worthwhile thing. To see these men and to not only see how recognizing them is such an encouragement for them, because it is. I've watched their faces. There's a humility, but there's also a pride that sneaks up of being glad that someone really did appreciate what they do. To be able to be there to give that support, but to also to see if you would like to have your parish be involved. So to do that, they can go to occatholicman.org or stjosephradio.net, and they can find out the information there if they wanted to do it. It's a good idea to get started soon for next year just to get the ball rolling, because the very first thing they're going to want to do is to get your pastor, or if it's part of an organization, the leadership in your organization on board, right?
Yes, that's a very good thing. And you can always get in touch with St. Joseph Radio and let us know, and we can send you information early. Make sure that you're on board with getting your man, or if you have a question as to how to go about it.
And then for each person that's chosen, it depends on which organization and how they want to do it. Sometimes it's the pastor who decides. Sometimes it's a committee that's put together in the parish that decides. It just depends on what your organization wants to do to recommend their man of the year.
Yes.
So when they do this, they then get their forms. They get the signature of the pastor or the president of the organization.
We need the pastor's signature just to show that he's a Catholic in good standing.
And then there's information that we would need to get on this man and his permission to take part in this as well.
Yes.
We don't want to blindside the guy. Here, show up at this dinner. Oh, look, you're going up on stage. But it's available on those two websites for this coming year. Both this year to go to the March 18th event, and then next year to be able to nominate somebody who might be coming from your parish. Because this is a fantastic opportunity for our parish leadership to honor those men in their parish and to be able to develop a habit, a tradition within your parish of honoring a man who might be that silent person who makes sure that the collections are all done right or that the doors are opened. To be able to do that is something that I think is a great legacy to be able to pass on. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, and we'll be right back.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
The De Angelis Vocal Ensemble presents a choral concert of music inspired by the Via Crucis on Friday, March 10th at 8 p.m. in the Cultural Center of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. This a cappella program features music from the Renaissance to contemporary masterpieces. Tickets for this program and future concerts at Christ Cathedral are available at christcathedralmusic.org. Also, don't miss the Talis Scholars on March 31st.
Welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Wing Lam. Wing, welcome to our program.
Welcome. Thanks for having me over here.
I am intrigued because Wing is not only an entrepreneur, he's a Catholic entrepreneur, and I wanted to be able to have him to come on, and it's very timely that he's on right now, to talk about a couple of things. One, Mr. Lam, we're going to call you Wing.
Yes.
Wing is an entrepreneur in the restaurant business.
Yep.
And he's running a special right now at his restaurants because of Lent. So we're going to talk briefly about that, but I'm really intrigued by his story because he's come to the United States as an immigrant in order to both make his fortune, but also to embrace the nation and the faith. And he's become quite successful in all of that. So welcome again to our program. What is this special that you're running right now during Lent?
Well, we figure, you know, everybody's given up something over Lent, but we thought we'd give you something in exchange, right? So during Fridays, during Lent, we're offering two fish tacos and a glass of wine for $9.99.
What restaurant is this?
Wahoo's Fish Taco.
Wahoo's Fish Tacos, as I understand it, is nationwide.
Yep.
There's like 60 restaurants that go all around the country.
Yep.
You've got at least 30-something in Southern California area,
yep.
Somewhere between San Diego and Goleta, and yep. That's roughly the range of where you're going to have this air. But this isn't just an infomercial for Wahoo's Fish Tacos, which on Fridays during Lent, you're going to be able to get this wonderful special of two tacos and a glass of wine for under $10.
Yep.
But Wing came to this country and has engaged the faith in doing so. So I want to back up for just a moment. Wing, tell me, what's your story? Where did you come from? You didn't arrive out of nowhere. So where did you grow up?
Well, I joke about it, the fact that my parents, when they left China after World War II, they didn't stop in America. They went all the way to South America. And because a lot of the Asians basically immigrated to South America, especially what happened with Pearl Harbor. So, you know, people got confused. You might have been, you know, Japanese or Chinese or Korean. They say, hey, we all look alike. So then everybody ended up going south of the border. So my dad happened to open one of the first Chinese restaurants in Sao Paulo, Brazil after World War II. And shortly thereafter, my mom immigrated down there. So all of us brothers were born and raised in Brazil. So we're Chinese by descendant, but Brazilian by citizenship.
What languages do you speak? Because you've got to have a couple in there.
I do a little bit of Chinese too with my mom and dad, but predominantly English, Spanish, and Portuguese.
Wow, very good. Then how old were you when you came to the United States?
I was here when I was 14 years old.
And you settled in the Southern California area.
Yeah, my parents had a restaurant on Baobo Island, the wonderful Shanghai Pine Garden, and we basically
It's still there.
Oh, it's still there.
And they're still serving really good food at cheap prices, as I understand. Again, not to be a commercial for it, but they've been there for a long time.
Oh, yeah, since 1970, yeah.
Wow, and they've owned the building the entire time.
Oh, yes, the entire building. So my parents literally live about a block and a half away. And our original house in California was in Costa Mesa.
Wow. All right, so you grew up in Southern California after age 14,
yep.
But you spent your childhood also kind of in the back of the restaurant, at the front of the restaurant. What was that like?
It was kind of fun because, you know, we call it free labor, right, kids? So we pretty much did everything and anything that was required in the restaurant, cleaning, busing, hosting. I mean, short of cooking because you couldn't really, as a kid, hold that walk. That walk weighs a lot.
Yeah.
And even when it's empty, still weighs a lot. So the idea was, and my parents didn't really like us to be near the fire, but they basically were, okay, you can wash dishes until the cows come home.
So that you were the chief bottle washer for
most
of the time. Got it. But you're also a very faithful Catholic.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit, where do you go to church now? What's your home parish?
Well, we are down at the beach, Mount Carmel, down in, and we also...
It's a beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful
parish.
And we also spend a little bit of time hanging out with our Christian friends at Mariners and Friends Church. And the whole thing, it's kind of like, hey, where's the closest church to us when we happen to be, you know, on the weekends, we're not always home. So if I'm near my in-law's house, which happened to be near Belinda, it's easier to go to one of the other parishes out there.
So what sustains your faith? What is it that you do and your family does that keeps you close to God?
Well, at the end of the day, as we call it, you got to have a moral compass, right? Because you can basically tell anything you want to tell anybody, but if you don't really mean it, I don't care how many attorneys are out there, they're trying to hold you to that. Nothing's going to happen. So you either know right from wrong, you know, the truth from a lie, or you don't. Because anybody can fabricate anything you want. So I believe that having faith gives you that compass. Because you got to understand, because it hasn't changed. I mean, you can pick up the Bible now or a million years ago. It is the same story, right? Granted, there's different versions of it, right? Depending on what faith you really follow. But at the end of it, it's their interpretation of events that happen, and you either believe it or you don't. So I think that's really, you got to start somewhere, because otherwise it's a lot of chaos going on out there.
How long have you been in the restaurant business?
I've been in the restaurant business from about the time I could walk.
Right, but they can't see you on the air.
So. Yes. So at Wahoo's, we've been, actually we're going to into our 29th year.
And you're a co-founder of
Wahoo's. I'm the co-founder with my two little brothers, Ed and Mingo. And then my dad has literally been in the restaurant business for probably about 75 years.
Wow. What is it that keeps you going in the restaurant business? Why do you still come home smelling like fish and oil and beer?
Well, it's kind of the same principle as, like, you know, why faith? Why do people go back to church every Sunday? Because last time I checked, there's not a new version of the Bible. It's still the same thing. So it's about, you know, a belief. So I believe in what we're doing in a restaurant is, hey, we're providing, I call it a great service. I mean, we actually still cook at all of our locations. So it's a great value. So, hey, this is, I think, a really good way to live your life, because it's eating healthy. So that's what keeps me motivated, and seeing people happy and literally running into people that have been eating at my restaurant since they were kids, and now their kids are eating there. So I know I'm doing something right when I get that. I love what you do.
So you've really invested not just in a business, you've invested in a way of life.
Yep.
Here in Southern California. Mm-hmm. So if you were to plumb that a little bit, mm-hmm. what would you recommend to people who are just starting out, who are looking at their life, and they're perhaps 14, 16, 18, 20, and they're asking themselves, what is it that I need to be doing in order to live a fulfilled life?
Well, I think at the end of the day is not only living to make money, right? I mean, it's that those goals, you know, I call it, it's not really a goal, right? But it's more about, like, what can I do and make a difference and an impact, like the legacy that I leave behind. So whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're an attorney, accountant, whatever it is that you do, do it in a way where it helps other people and enriches other people's lives. So that's why we, you know, like the same thing, we come back to the church, because we need to be reminded every now and then that this is the line they need to walk, right? So in whatever business you're doing, don't do it for the money. Don't do it for the title. Don't do it for any of those reasons. Do it because it makes you better, and it makes everybody around you even better.
People are listening to you, and they're thinking, well, that's pretty cool. But how have you and the restaurants reached out to your community in order to help give back?
Well, besides faith, we got environmental, education, and causes. So we don't just talk the talk. We are heavily, heavily invested in the community around us, because when somebody's out sick, when somebody can't get an education, when there's water pollutions, we're there behind it. So any time, anywhere that we can make a difference and make the event better by making some kind of contribution and, you know, our labor, our time, we're able to either make the event better by raising more money or bringing more awareness to the cause. So at the end of the day, it's like, hey, as good as or bad as it sounds, is we're doing something almost every day to try to help somebody out.
So I know you've been partnering with the Diocese of
yep.
Orange for quite some time
yep.
in order to enhance what we do. What kinds of events have you been involved with the last couple of years? Well, I know you've been doing this fish taco thing the last couple of years.
Well, what we're trying to do is, quote unquote, make it, I don't even want to use the word fun, but at the end of the day is work is work, right? So nobody looks forward to Mondays if you have to go to work. But if it was a little bit more fun, you know, as the old Mark Twain, painting a fence, he made it look fun, right? So my job with the Catholic Church is how do we make going to a mass a little bit more fun, right? Because at the end of the day, it's an hour of our lives, and you got video games, you got iPhones, you got all kinds of stuff that keeps you busy, right? So if we don't live up to that standard, I didn't create that standard. It's what's going on with the technology around us. So you really have 5 seconds to capture somebody's attention. So we have to kind of do that. So my job with Ryan say, hey, how do we make doing all these events on the campus more fun? So it's relevant to the youth because there's literally 1,000 choices that technically could be more fun.
When you're talking about the campus, you're talking about here in Garden Grove on the campus here at Christ Cathedral.
Yep.
You do an awful lot of the events that are here, and your presence is well known and is deeply appreciated. Right now you're running this special that's going on throughout the 60 restaurants. Here in Southern California, you can be found throughout just about any major community.
Yep.
And the restaurant's special that you're running is 2 tacos and a glass of wine on a Friday in Lent for under
$10. Under $10, that's right.
Which is a very good deal because if you were to buy that on your own on any other day, it would run you well past $10 because you just can't make any money that way.
Nope, not at all.
So this is a way of basically saying enjoy your Catholicism. Thank you for being a Catholic, and let's share that together.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, you know, we end communion with a nice glass of red wine, so this is a way to celebrate Lent.
I love it. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, Wing, I want to thank you so much for coming in, for sharing your faith a little bit, and for what it has meant to be an immigrant entrepreneur, a real American here in Southern California. Go to Wahoo's and enjoy on Fridays those fish tacos and a glass of wine. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me this afternoon has been Wing Lam. And we are coming to you from the great offices of Immaculate Heart Radio. And we will see you from our vantage point next week.
Need an idea for summer vacation? Why not join Bishop Kevin Vann and Bishop Tim Fryer for a first-of-its-kind Catholic cruise from Long Beach to Ensenada, Mexico? You'll be entertained by acclaimed musician Francis Cabildo, music ministry director at Santa Margarita High School, and director of Christ Cathedral Music Ministries, Dr. John Romeri. You'll also have the blessed opportunity to celebrate Mass at the Cathedral in Ensenada. It's all happening July 21st to the 24th. For info, call Travel of Orange, 877-538-0010. OCCatholic.com/travel.